Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you live from beautiful Midtown on the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower overlooking majestic Buckhead. As I do each week, I have a guest, and my guest will be coming on presently. Before I bring her on to finish her story today, which she began actually 2 weeks ago, I'm going to read a prayer that I posted day before yesterday on the Pushing Jesus blog that I have that you can find just by Googling Pushing Jesus, or you could go to Jack, www.jackwatts.me, and my blog is one of the links. Title of the prayer is Learning to Change from the Inside Out. Father, when I come before you, I always pay lip service to how awesome you really are. When I say this, I mean it, sort of. I know it's true, but I'll have to admit that what I'm really interested in is me. I acknowledge your sovereignty because I want things from you. I want you to bless me, to make my life easier, to make my will be your own. I know my prayers focus upon what you can do for me, because I desire your blessing, not getting to know you better. I wish I was a better person than this, that I had more character than this. But I know that I don't. Admitting the truth embarrasses me, but I have to be straightforward. Father, help me change my heart to desire for you to be who you want me to be, and not just what you can do for me. Give me a heart that seeks your wisdom rather than just your benevolent generosity. Help me see beyond my limited world to what you are doing in the lives of others. Give me a heart for someone other than myself. I know my selfishness is ever before me. I know you are busy in my life, changing me from the inside out, helping me to become a faithful child. If that's your prayer, you're like many of us. We become so consumed with ourselves that it's very difficult to think of other people and to think of God's will, which is not all about you, and not all about me, but about his will. All right, we're on the air now, and I am going to bring on, I believe, this is, let me see how I've got, what I'm doing here. Hello, this is Jack. Is this Julie?
Hi, Jack. This is Julie.
Hi, Julie. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, let's continue where we were last week. Just kind of bringing people up to speed. You had a pretty dramatic altercation with your ex-husband where he actually kidnapped you two different times, one time beating up your brothers, and never getting arrested for it, which is probably the most incredible part of it at any rate. But you were saying, so let's continue with where you were, and I'll just let you proceed.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you. Well, yes, I was kidnapped once from a friend's home. I was living with her and her husband. I had gone there just for somewhere to go to be safe and away from him. and he kidnapped me from there that time. And then it was several months later he attempted the second kidnapping from my brother's home. Two brothers were living there together, and as we talked about last time, they did intercede and prevented him from actually kidnapping me from the home. However, it was pretty dramatic, and traumatic. And
let it be known that he was willing to take you back so that you got that message.
Right.
It just goes to show you how consumed people can be about themselves. That, you know, that little prayer that I just read, that would be him in steroids. At any rate, go ahead with where you were. Hello? Julie? Okay, Julie has popped off. That happened one time before because of the inclement weather. We were talking about this kidnapping and what happens with people when that goes on. And here we are, and I'm going to bring on Stacy. Stacy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing real well. We were talking to Julie, and she got cut off. So there are a lot of women that have husbands who believe that they're their property. Really, they act in America almost like a Middle Eastern man who puts his wife in a burqa, and he can kill her if he wants to. He can do whatever he wants with impunity. And that, of course, is not healthy, it's not legal, and it's definitely not what God wants a male-female relationship to be. As we are talking about, Julie, what are some of the things that come to your mind about where she can begin in her healing process? Although, actually, you know, this is stuff that happened to her early on, and now she's really moved on in quite a few ways. But because there are so many women that are going through that, what are the things that you would suggest?
There you are. Can you hear me, Jack?
I can, absolutely.
Okay. I wasn't hearing you or anything there for a while, so. So a lot of terror, as I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder years later, and ultimately ended in me surrendering all of this to the Lord in church one evening at Christmas time, and it was so traumatic for me, and I carried that for so long that when I even saw one of his relatives, which was what had happened in church that night, I saw a relative of his there, and I immediately went into panic mode thinking he was there stalking me or having his family watch for me or something. And I just really came to the conclusion that I couldn't control it. All I could control was how I dealt with this, and I had to give everything to the Lord. And I had such a peace that night, after that night, just surrendering everything. I thought if he even showed up there in that church and even with an intention of killing me, I was going to have peace with that, knowing God is in control of even that. So that did give me some reassurance there, and that's when the healing ultimately began for me.
And so when you couldn't hear me, it's because you weren't on, and you've suddenly reappeared, which is magic. Because I thought that the call had been dropped, and at any rate, so tell me about the healing. What was the thing that triggered it?
The thing that triggered the healing, well, I was sitting in church one night with my husband Ben, and it was at Christmas time. All the children were dancing around.
This is your second marriage?
No, actually, my third, Jack.
Your third, okay. And how long had you been married at the time?
At the time of this marriage, maybe about 2 years.
About 2 years. And how old were you?
At this point, I would say I was 41. So it had been a good 20 years.
Well, it's amazing how long you can just kind of come along at a very low level of existence, of not being what you want to be, of not being who you are, of just kind of like that song is, you know, is that all there is? You know, or what's life all about, Alfie? All right, so you're in church and all, and continue. Are you there? Well, folks, we are having quite a time here trying to have our guests speak. My thought is that there is a bad storm in Texas, because that's where Julie is, and this happens sometimes. While I'm waiting for her to come back, let me just elaborate about that a little bit. I know in my own life, things went pretty well for quite a while, and then I talked to the Lord, and I said I was so glad that nothing really bad had ever happened to me. And it was almost like that set into motion a significant negative time in my life where not anything went well for a long, long time. And yet, in the valley, that is where I really learned how to trust the Lord. And I just went ahead and did the best that I could with it. And over a long period of time, it did very well. I believe we've got Julie back. Here we go. Are you back with us, Julie?
I am back. I hope I don't lose you again.
I hope. Yeah, well, you know, I'm pretty good at filling in the time, or at least I think so. We may have lost everybody that was listening to us. But at any rate, you were in church, and
right.
Something happened, and that was the triggering of the – tell us about that, the triggering that put you into good stead with the Lord, back to who you were supposed to be.
Right, right. Yes, well, I was sitting in church with my husband, and it was Christmas time. We had a Christmas program. All the little kids dressed up in their costumes, dancing around. It was just wonderful. And then I caught sight of a relative of my first husband, and it kind of sent me into panic mode again. And I just came to this place where I just thought, I can't keep doing this. I cannot let him have control of me, even when he's not in my life. And in essence, it's the enemy having that control over me, that control of fear. And I just prayed that God would release me from that he would give me a peace, that even if this man walked into our church that day and with the intention of killing me, ending my life right there, that even God was in control of that. He was in control of everything, even that if that were to happen, it was still his will. And that is what gave me the peace and put me on the path to healing and recovery.
Now, that's what so happens when people are abused. The abuser
even when they are out of the person's life, still has control, because you end up doing what you would need to do to protect yourself if he were there. And that was a really fortuitous thing to see that person. Did you talk to the to whoever it was?
No, I did not. It was one of his brothers, and I did not. I actually don't think he recognized me. He is the brother that was injured in the car accident.
And you never saw him again. Is that right? Well, evidently, we are having some technical difficulties here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to once again talk a little bit about when they have you in your control, when you are so afraid of what that person thinks, of what that person does, that you are still under that person's control, even if they are out of your lives as much as 20 years. That's a very, very, very difficult way to live. And that's why I developed this program on recovering from religious abuse. In this particular case, this is spousal abuse, but it really is the same thing, and it doesn't work. It makes one's life miserable, and no matter what you do, you can't get back on your feet. So the way to handle that is to just continually go to the Lord before anything worse happens. Here she is back again. Try this one more time. Go ahead. You're on, Julie. Well, she called back, and I don't think we're going to have her. So I'm just going to continue. This, of course, makes for some very challenging radio when that happens. But here's the thing. In order to heal, you can't just go from here to there. You've got to go back and unlearn some behavior. After the pain of your abuse begins to subside, the initial emotional stuff, after you realize your life is going to take a much different direction than you either wanted or expected, that's the time when you have to start asking yourself, what are the lessons that I need to learn from my painful experience so that I don't replicate them again? I always find it interesting. A woman will be married to a guy who's an alcoholic 25 years, and you know, she finally had enough, and they end up getting a divorce, and she's free of that. And what does she do? She chooses and falls in love with another alcoholic because she didn't learn the lesson, so she's going back into it, replicating them again. Although, thinking that you're going to start from where the pain ends, that's not really the place. There's a step that you have to go to first. You have to go to the Lord and say, what do I need to unlearn from this experience? What are the things that I need to change in me so that I become a healthy enough person to have a relationship again? Because that's what people want. They don't want to be alone. But you've got to unlearn What are the things that are in you? It's so easy to just blame, blame, blame. I mean, and you end up actually being as pathetic as President Obama blaming everything on George Bush when it's obviously not the truth. You don't want to be like that. You want to be able to take the responsibility for your own part, and there's always your own part that's part of it. If you begin with this question and seek that answer, your recovery will be deeper and more complete. Before you become fit and useful to yourself and to others, you need to unlearn the errors you have internalized as true while you were enmeshed in your abusive situation, in your deception, in whatever it is that has taken you from the path and track that you want to be on in life and taken a terrible diversion. Until you make the effort to unlearn from the path, your efforts at getting well are going to flounder, and you will not have the kind of progress that you desire. It just won't happen. All right, I'm going to put her back on now. Let's see if we can do this. All right, let's see if we can get moving on this and make it happen here. Julie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Okay, I can't imagine why we keep missing, but all right, we're back there at church, and you see this guy, and then you decide that I'm not going to live in fear anymore. And then what happened from there?
Well, I just prayed. I prayed for God to take all that away from me, that I would learn to trust him fully, no matter what it was, even if it meant my ex-husband was going to walk in with a gun and end my life right there. I came to the realization that God was in control of everything. He was my protector, and he's the giver and taker of life. And if that is what was going to be the end result, God controlled even that. And so I just asked him to take away that fear, to let me give him control of everything in my life. And
so
that was when
the fear
healing started.
Was the thing that was so debilitating for you.
Yep.
And how long has that been since that happened?
Well, it's been about 11 years ago now.
And have you ever seen your first husband since then, or any of his relatives?
No.
Or anything? Or that was your little confrontation with the past, and once that was done, it was gone, and everything has been different since. What has been different for you in the in that subsequent time from that?
Well, my behaviors are different. I quit running and being reactive in my thinking and actions, and instead of turning and going the other way when I would see one of his family members, I just let things happen as they would unfold. It would be just if you and I were walking down the street, Jack, and instead of turning and running from you, just passing and speaking or not speaking, but just letting it happen as God would allow it. And stopping the reactionary thing about stop living in fear of what will I do if. And that takes some effort to, once you're into, and it doesn't matter what the habit is, whether it's alcohol or drugs or sexual addiction or anything, but any bad habit takes a concerted effort and replacing with a good habit. And I became I got into the habit of praying instead of fearing, because if it wasn't doing me any good. I was in I was a physical mess. I developed fibromyalgia. I was in so much pain that some days I could hardly walk when I got out of bed. And of course, the more you know about nutrition and health, and which has kind of been a one area that I've enjoyed exploring and knowing, and believe in nutritional health. But the fatigue and the stress on a body depletes the B vitamins, and of course then it affects you physically, which is what was going on with me at the time, which caused problems in other areas of the current marriage then. But anyway, so there's a whole gamut of things that a person goes through when they've experienced this type of abuse or any type of abuse, and even if it's abusing one's own body with alcohol or drugs or overexercising, you know, it takes a physical toll on a person.
Well, you know, it's God has extraordinary patience with people, and
that's right.
He takes them from places that are really some black holes, and
mm-hmm.
from there establishes them and makes them into what he wants them to be. The process to many believers is something that they don't really care for. They like everything to be really pristine and lovely. But that
mm-hmm.
is not what God's about, and that is not what the Scripture's about. And
that's right.
It's He loves sinful people. He loves people that have
mm-hmm.
been broken, and
mm-hmm.
the ones that will bow their knee and look to Him. He
mm-hmm.
does enormous things with their lives, transforming
mm-hmm.
them and making them really powerful people. And He who has been forgiven much loves much. The
That's
antithesis
right.
of that is somebody who's just really been very straight and narrow their whole life. Their capacity to love may not be equal to yours because of what you have experienced. And
mm-hmm.
that means that now that things are more together than not,
mm-hmm.
your capacity to help others is real and genuine. Whereas if you tried some of the stuff earlier, you know, it would have been a disaster. Or maybe you did try and it was a disaster. It doesn't, I think of Psalm 1. It says, and it bears its fruit in its season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've reached your season, and you're bearing the fruit.
And I believe that also.
You know, before, it may have looked like, you know, a tasty peach. But I want to tell you something. You pull a peach off that's not ripe, and it's not that good. It's awful.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But when something reaches maturity in, and the fruit is the great example of that. It works, and it blesses, and it nourishes others. And of
mm-hmm.
course, that is the key from your story. And I'm just, you know, really thrilled that you have shared this with us. And, you know, we've got less than a half a minute. So is there anything
mm-hmm.
that you would like to add to this?
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, Jack, for letting me tell my story. And you are so spot on that this whole process, my whole life has been a culmination of things and events that have led me to this point where I'm finally comfortable speaking about this, and I'm willing to help, and I want to help, and I have that desire to and that capacity to reach out to others who are suffering or going through similar things. That is my prayer.
Well, that is what it's all about. And we're out of time now, so Julie, thank you for telling your story. God bless you.
Thank you.
And God bless everybody who's listening. Good night.
Thank you.